जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरा वन चारी, जमुना तीरा वन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ऑफ डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ऑफ डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली ऑफ डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 47. Tam tvam vidama Bhagavan paramatma tattvam. Tam tvam vidama Bhagavan paramatma tattvam. Tam tvam vidama Bhagavan paramatma tattvam. Satvena sampratiratim rachayantam esham. Satvena sampratiratim rachayantam esham. Satvena sampratiratim rachayantam esham. Yate nutapa viditar dridha bhakti yogair. Yate nutapa viditar dridha bhakti yogair. Udgranthayori dividur munayo viraga. Udgranthayori dividur munayo viraga. Please chant. Tam tvam vidama Bhagavan paramatma tattvam. Satvena sampratiratim rachayantam esham. Yate nutapa viditai dridha bhakti yoga. Udgrantayori dividur munayo viraga. Tam tvam vidama Bhagavan paramatma tattvam. Satvena sampratiratim rachayantam esham. Nate nutapa vidita dridha bhakti yoga. Udgranthayori dividur munayo viraga. Tam tvam vidama Bhagavan paramatma tattvam. Satvena sampratiratim rachayantam esham. Yate nutapa vidite dridha bhakti yogair. Udgrantayori dividur munayo viraga. Tam. Him. Tvam, you. Vidama, we know. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param, the Supreme. Atma Tattvam, Absolute Truth. Satvena, by your form of pure goodness. Samprati, now. Ratim, love of God. Rachayantam, creating. Esham, of all these. Yat, of all them, of all of them. Yeah. Yat, which. Te, your. Anutapa, mercy. Viditai, understood. Dridha, unflinching. Bhakti yogai, through devotional service. Udgrantaya, without attachment. Free from material bondage. Riddhi, in the heart. Vidu, understood. Munaya, great sages. Viragaha, not interested in material life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We know that you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, who manifests His transcendental form in the uncontaminated mode of pure goodness. This transcendental eternal form of your personality can be understood only by your mercy through unflinching devotional service by great sages whose hearts have been purified in the devotional way. Please repeat. We know that you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, who manifests His transcendental form in the uncontaminated mode of pure goodness. This transcendental eternal form of your personality can be understood only by your mercy through unflinching devotional service by great sages whose hearts have been purified in the devotional way. Purport. The Absolute Truth can be understood in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here it is admitted that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the last word in understanding the Absolute Truth. Even though the four Kumaras were instructed by their great learned father, Brahma, they could not actually understand the Absolute Truth. They could only understand the Supreme Absolute Truth when they personally saw the Personality of Godhead with their own eyes. In other words, if one sees or understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the other two features of the Absolute Truth, namely impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma, are also automatically understood. Therefore, the Kumaras confirm, you are the ultimate Absolute Truth. The impersonalist may argue that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead was so nicely decorated, he was therefore not the Absolute Truth. But here it is confirmed that all the variegatedness of the Absolute Platform is constituted of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. In the material world, any quality, goodness, passion, or ignorance, is contaminated. Even the quality of goodness here in the material world is not free from tinges of passion and ignorance. But in the transcendental world, only pure goodness, without any tinge of passion or ignorance, exists. Therefore, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His variegated pastimes and paraphernalia are all pure sattva guna. Such variegatedness in pure goodness is exhibited eternally by the Lord for the satisfaction of the devotee. The devotee does not want to see the Supreme Personality of Absolute Truth in voidness or impersonalism. In one sense, absolute transcendental variegatedness is meant only for the devotees, not for others, because this distinct feature of transcendental variegatedness can be understood only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and not by mental speculation or the ascending process. It is said that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one is even slightly favored by him. Otherwise, without his mercy, a man may speculate for thousands of years and not understand what is actually the absolute truth. This mercy can be perceived by the devotee when he is completely freed from contamination. It is stated, therefore, that only when all contamination is rooted out and the devotee is completely detached from material attractions can he receive this mercy of the Lord. Jai. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Giri Yat Kripatam Ham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Tirtha Swami Tinamine Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Shutavine Shri Gurakumya Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gradhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sunubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, everyone, for your presence here and for the opportunity. I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak, share a little something on the Srimad Bhagavatam according to my limited realization. I actually tried to get out of giving the class today because especially when I read the purport, I was thinking, oh, it's very philosophical, which I mean it always is, but I felt like it was very very much above my level, and I was trying to basically get out of it. But it didn't work out. But I realized too that it's very important that this is when growth happens, is when we step out of our comfort zone. And it is very important to have an understanding of the philosophy and of to be able to share it with others, because we can't really, if we don't understand Krishna, then how will our doubts be dispelled? How will we make advancement? Someone might say, well, the gopis they're simple, because we hear that they're simple, but they're simple doesn't mean, you know, foolish or ignorant. They're simple in the sense that they have no desire outside of pleasing Krishna. So in that way, they're very simple-hearted. But they don't think of Krishna as God or anything like that. But they understand. They know everything. So there's no avoiding. It's very important to understand the philosophy. So one of the first things that we hear about in the purport, just kind of go back through a little slowly, is about the absolute truth, how it can be understood in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was thinking of that was the first block for me, knowing that this is something that I've heard about for so long, but, you know, over and over and over, but didn't really feel that I understood. And then I remembered that I had seen, this is a Facebook post actually by Mitra Sen Prabhu, who lives here in our community. And he likes to preach and he reads Bhagavatam regularly with groups of people. And so he was explaining how he shared with them the meaning of the three sages of the Absolute. So I went back to look that up and I wanted to share that. So this is Mitra Sen Prabhu speaking. I ran a social experiment a few years ago, reading Srimad Bhagavatam with a group of Winston-Salem suburbanites. A retired nurse asked me to explain the three aspects of the Absolute Truth described in Chapter 2. It's very technical, I said, hoping to rush past it. So I felt good when I saw that he also was thinking, let's not go there just yet. Are you sure you want to get into this? There are some stories ahead that I'd like you to hear. Yes, said one of them. I'm curious, and these words don't make any sense to me. I can't even pronounce them. I looked at the others in the group. All of them were over 60, some in their 70s, suburban Southern seniors. Do you all want to hear this too? And they nodded. Yes, this looks interesting, the oldest one said. I'd like to hear about it. And she was a Buddhist. I pondered how to make this relevant to our little group of nurses, bank tellers, and Buddhists. Okay, let's try. I took a deep breath. I needed a new approach for this audience, something that they could experience. So then he says, some of you have had spiritual experiences, a visitation by something powerful. I looked to the nurse. She nodded. A feeling that all is well, that all is peaceful. There's nothing to worry about. You're surrounded by a powerful, friendly, and unlimited energy. She closes her eyes, meditating on the experience that she had described a week earlier. You've had a glimpse of it? He asks. Yes, certainly, she says. Yes, we all have. We've gotten a glimpse. Imagine if you could hold that, to stay there by practice. The group looked thoughtful. They'd all experienced something like this. Yoga is meant to take you there. By discipline and practice, you can stay for longer and longer periods until you're always there. So for this part, I was thinking about, when you're chanting japa, and it doesn't happen all the time, it comes and goes, but there's just that feeling when there's just no rush. Like there's no, I'm not thinking, I have to do this thing, I have to go here. I'm not worried about what time it is. I'm just knowing that, okay, this, what I'm doing right now, this is the best thing that I can do. There's nothing else more important than this. And that feeling is very peaceful and calming. That sounds wonderful, the Buddhist says. Yes, it is, and that's called Brahman realization. That's the first stage of realization, but there's more. My audience looks startled. When you're in that stage for some time, you'll notice a voice of wisdom, something beyond you. You're not alone. The source of all energy has a voice, and it's talking to you, giving you wisdom. And then the lady says, oh, I'm getting goosebumps. I had no idea. And he says, yes, it's a paradigm shift. There's a personality behind this powerful energy, and you've attracted its attention. It's speaking to you. This is the second stage of realization called Paramatma. But there's more, I said. Are you ready for this? Yes, please. So now everyone's like sitting forward and clutching their Bhagavatams in their hands and they want to know what's next. And he says, all right, here we go. But I warn you, this is another paradigm shift. They urge me on. Do you remember when you were a child, how you thought the world revolved around you. Your parents and grandparents loved you so much, you thought that that all they did was wait for you to call them on the phone or to come visit. It wasn't until you grew up that you learned that they have other friends, a life outside of your circle. You learned to see them as complete and social humans. This is what Bhagavan realization is about. That voice that's been speaking to you has a personality, has a set of close friends, and shares deep secrets with them. My Buddhist friend said, "Oh, that's beautiful." "There's a lot going on in that realm," I continued. "Bhagavan realization gets you into that circle, and that is the target of this book, Srimad Bhagavatam." Okay, so that's basically the end there. So I really appreciated that because I found it helpful. It's kind of like, there used to be these books like for dummies, like car repair for dummies, real estate for dummies. So this is like absolute truth for dummies. Not saying that these people are dummies, but for beginners, you know, like really explaining in a way. And even, I mean, I don't know, I find that even amongst devotees, sometimes we can be around for a long time and really not understand these things, you know, so it's important to keep going over it and as I said, to be able to explain it to others. So then another point that Prabhupada makes in the purport here is that even though the four Kumaras were instructed by their great learned father Brahma, they could not actually understand the absolute truth. So I was thinking there about raising children in general, because, you know, Lord Brahma, he's the father, and the four Kumaras, they're his sons. And I was thinking that, you put in all of the effort, you just have to do your best with the raising of children, and then at they might not necessarily, come out the way that you're expecting or the way that you're hoping, or maybe it seems like they're not taking to Krishna consciousness in the way that you had hoped. But, you know, you never really know. And ultimately, again, you put in your best and the rest is up to Krishna, because there's a point where they're not under you anymore and you have to, and they have to make their own attempts to get Krishna's mercy. They have to try on their own. Another point here, they could only understand the Supreme Absolute Truth when they personally saw the personality of Godhead with their own eyes. In other words, they have to have their own experiences. We can't, you know, we can give and give and give as much as we can, but ultimately it's up to them and they have to have their experience for themselves. Another point here, let's see. Oh, there's in the Adi Lila, actually this is in chapter 2, text 10, there's almost the whole, that whole chapter there, there's a lot of nice information about the three features of the Absolute. And there's an explanation of the term Bhagavan that Srila Prabhupada gives there. Ba means sustainer or protector. Ga means leader, pusher, creator, and Va means dwelling. All living beings dwell in the Supreme Lord, and he dwells within the heart of every living being. Combining all these concepts, the word Bhagavan carries the import of inconceivable potency in knowledge, energy, strength, opulence, power, and influence. Then there's another place we also hear about pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, and that the Yeah, so pure goodness. So here's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:23. This is a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. He says, in the material world, goodness is sometimes mixed up with ignorance and passion. But in the spiritual world, there is pure goodness, no contamination or tinges of passion and ignorance. Therefore, it is called Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva, Shabdam Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, is revealed without any covering. That pure goodness is called Vasudev, and in that pure goodness one can realize God. Therefore, God's name is Vasudev, produced from Vasudev. Vasudev is the father of Vasudev. So unless we come to the standard of pure goodness without any tinge of passion and ignorance, it is not possible God realization. Therefore, bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadhyana navritam, jnana karmadhyana navritam. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. And this word unflinching means showing neither fear or indecision. Resolute, steadfast, uncompromising. So this is how we have to be in order to move forward in our Krishna consciousness. Let's skip ahead a little bit. Here's another point where Prabhupada says, this is from a class in Los Angeles. Yes, the complete knowledge, absolute truth, means to understand three features of the absolute truth. One feature is Brahman, impersonal. The next feature is Paramatma, localized, and the next feature is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one understands these three features of the absolute truth very perfectly, then he is in complete knowledge of the science of God. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. Yeah, so the point is we have to, in order to be able to enter into the spiritual world, we have to be completely pure. I wanted to get into a little bit. I heard a very interesting class recently where, because there's a lot of talk about flying, because of the recently there was a very terrible tragedy, you know, in India with the airplane crash. And so the devotee was actually making a comparison between the crash of an airplane with the fall down. So I just kind of wanted to share that. I thought it was very interesting. So if we look at the airplane, we can see it's this, as far as ways of travel, it's actually the most comfortable, and it gets us where we want to go the fastest. We can compare it to the human body. So the human body, this is the best vehicle as far as trying to go back to Godhead. There's the potential to go very high and to go at great speeds. The airplane takes off, and this is where we can say bhakti begins. And the body, again, is the airplane in flight, and the soul is the passenger. The pilots are the intelligence, but also the false ego. The engine would be the senses when they're engaged in Krishna's service. And then the mind is the controller of the engine. And then we have also air traffic control, which is like guru, sadhu, and sastra. They're giving guidance. You know, the air traffic controllers, they tell the plane, you know, what to do, basically. And if the plane veers from that, then there's a problem. Then there's the black box, which they always look for the black box. You know, after the unfortunate incident, they look for the black box to see what happened, to tell. So the black box is like the karma. And the karma explains, you know, why what happened, basically. Why something is happening the way that it is. And then the fuel is sadhana, or sadhana. That's the fuel that keeps the plane going. So when there's a crash, they look for the reasons, you know, what could possibly cause it. So comparing that to what are the possibilities, what can possibly cause fall down, which, you know, slows us down on our path to Krishna. So one thing is bird strike. Did you know that small birds can cause an airplane accident? I had never heard that before, but actually, because there's, I don't want to get into the technical part, which I don't understand anyway, but apparently a small birds can just, if they hit the engine at a certain period of time during takeoff or landing, they can cause the engine to fail. So we can see the bird strike as bad association. So even if there's just small amounts, still they can lead to catastrophe. I was thinking, in this material world, it's an ongoing challenge because everything is bad association practically. Not to put this place down, but you know, there's a ice cream place on Main Street now, where they sell all this so much of a variety, all these different types of ice cream, and they even have, because they're aware that this is a big Hare Krishna community, so on the menu or whatever you want to call it, there it lists, you know, this is good for Hare Krishnas, you know, like which ones the devotees can have because they don't have eggs or whatever in there. So you know, and I was thinking, so yeah, this is, some could say that, oh, well, you know, it's good preaching because they do have Hare Krishna listed there. But at the same time, really, it's not really the best thing to be, you know, eating food that's not made by devotees, because it's not really offerable. And the goal, their goal is different from what our goal is. Their goal is to make money. So they have the Hare Krishna, the name, Krishna's name is there. But the goal is, so you can come here and spend your money, you know, and that'll be good for us, for them. But is that really good for us? You know, because really, who knows? Maybe it says that this is not in there, but if the ingredients change, or whatever, for them it might not be a big deal, but for us it is a big deal. So in this way, you know, it's just a small example of association that we really want to try to avoid. And I mean, it's a challenge for me as well, so I'm not speaking from this high platform that I never eat anything that's not offerable to Krishna or whatever. But just, you know, having the understanding that, yeah, we want if that's a problem, I want to move away from that. I want to do my best to move forward, because we don't want to stay always having the same problems, you know, as far as and moving forward in our devotional service. Another comparison would be engine failure. So this would be compared to when the senses stop engaging in Krishna's service. So again, you know, using our senses, the difference between using our senses to satisfy Krishna and using them to satisfy ourselves. Another problem that can be a pilot error. So sometimes it happens with the plane that it's actually willful that the pilot, this has happened as well, that the pilot actually sabotages and he crashes the plane on purpose for different reasons. So sometimes we sabotage ourselves. We sabotage ourselves and it can be willful, you know. And then there's also accidental. The pilot makes a mistake and then it causes an accident. So, you know, we have our accidental, as we say, accidental fall downs that can happen as well. Just the other day, I heard something that someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what's the difference between what is accidental fall down? What does that really mean as compared to doing something purposefully? And he said, if the person comes back, I heard it from Vaisheshika Prabhu last weekend. He said, if the person comes back, then we should see it as accidental fall down. You know, so they're still having the desire to continue with their practice. Another thing is, insufficient fuel. So that's lack of sadhana, you know, rising early, trying to chant good rounds, attending the morning program as much as possible, reading, so all of that. So this is our sadhana. So insufficient fuel means we're not doing enough of these things, so then that can cause fall down. Another would be structural failure. So I thought this was interesting because they always check the planes, you know, each time to make sure that everything is right. But sometimes there's an internal thing, structural failure, and it doesn't show up until the plane is already in flight. Not a lot. You know, flying on planes is still much relatively safer than driving a car. Just want to remind everybody of that. But there is that structural failures. And so that's compared to anartas. That we don't see them right away. And sometimes they come out, you know, as we're practicing. And sometimes devotees will say, you know, I feel like when I was, before I became a devotee, I was like a nicer person. You know, I was a better person. And that's because we have the example of when you're cleaning, you know, sometimes things can look nice because all the dirt is hidden. But when you really want to do a deep cleaning, you have to pull everything out. You know, you pull things out. You have to lift up, we have to move boxes and lift things up. And then we'll see that there's a lot of dirt under there. So when we start cleaning it, it's all over the place. So this devotional life can be like that. So it can look like, man, where did all this stuff come from? I remember when I first started really reading the Bhagavatam, and I liked the pastimes, but anytime they were offering prayers to Krishna, I just found it so boring. That's when it would make me want to sleep, you know? And then after some time, I realized that's just a symptom. That's the envy, you know? That's how I came here, because of envy of Krishna. So there's this lack of interest in hearing these beautiful prayers being offered to Krishna. So structural failure, that's the hidden anartas. Communication breakdown, also where the transmission coming from the air traffic controllers, that it's there's some block there. So we can see that as the false ego sometimes blocking us. We might get an instruction from the spiritual master, but we think, I don't really need to do that, or maybe I should do it in a different way. And so this is the false ego causing communication breakdown. Mid-air collision, which, you know, that was actually a few months ago. We saw that with the airplane and the helicopter in D.C. And so the mid-air collision, so that's Vaishnav aparad. It's just like very, very quick and deadly and causes extreme devastation. And then the last one is what's called runway overshot. And that's when the runway is made for, you know, taking off. You have to take off. But if we stay on the runway and we just keep going, we're going to run into something. So in the same way with our Krishna consciousness, we don't want to stay on the same level. We want to get to this point where we can, like the four Kumaras, we can see Krishna face to face. You know, like we're seeing Krishna now, but there's more happening for us. At least for me, they're just standing there. I don't know what's going on, what else is going on. I don't see them move, but I know that, you know, we hear from Srila Prabhupada that the deities, they will speak to you, like actually speak to you if you become qualified, you know. So this is something that we want to get to have that experience. And then the last thing, I just wanted to read, this is from His Grace Burijan Prabhu's Unveiling the Lotus Feet. So that's his commentary on the first four cantos of the Bhagavatam. So for this verse, let's see, okay. So this is a little summary of 46 through 50, but I'll only read yesterday and today's. So in the Priti Sandarbha, Anukcheda 203, this verse to illustrate Stai Bhav. So this is the verse yesterday that Nagaraj Prabhu gave class on. The Stai Bhav of a Jnana Bhakta who had been attached to the impersonal Brahman. This indicates that the Kumaras' association with the Lord elevated them from impersonalists to bhaktas in Shantaras. And then for today, okay, Srila Prabhupada offers the essential message of the two prayers contained in texts 46 and 47 and explores the relationship between mercy and qualification in his purport to text 47. So he quotes a little from the purport, and then he says, prior to seeing the Lord, the Kumaras had realized only his Brahman feature and had only heard from Brahma of his existence, the existence of a transcendental person who was the source of Brahman. Now, by the Lord's mercy, they were actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, they expressed their gratitude to him and confirm that the supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest and most complete revelation of the Absolute Truth. It is rare to achieve darshan of the Lord's personal form. Ordinary people cannot see powerful kings so he gives the example, as Prabhupada does, that, you know, you can't just go and see a king or the president. You have to go through a lot of circles, lots of levels, and even you can't see him in his family relationship. Like, you couldn't just go to his house, the president or the king, whatever, and just see him with his family. You have to be qualified, and the qualification is he gives you his mercy. But who is qualified to receive such mercy? The scriptures teach that the qualification to receive mercy is complete. What do you think? Sincerity. Complete sincerity. defined as the unmixed, deep eagerness to serve. As Srila Prabhupada states in his purport to Bhagavatam 7.15.20, if one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. Tatra lolyam ekalam mulam. This is the best path available. One possessing such a jewel can attract Krishna's mercy. One cannot force Krishna to invite him. Yeah, and then we'll stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any comments, questions, corrections? Oh, Shesha Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. You were mentioning that with children grow and they come to a stage in life when we have to let them go on their own. Is it really a fact that devotees raising children, taking the position of a guru, ever come to the stage where they just let their children go and don't?
I'm sorry, I missed the last part.
Is it true that in raising children in Krishna consciousness that we come to a stage where they're on their own?
Is it true that they come to a stage when they're...
In other words, is it true in Krishna consciousness that a stage comes where you let the children be on their own?
Oh. Yeah. On their own in the sense that, as we read, we can't force them. We can't force them. They have to make the decision for themselves that this is the path that they want to follow. Did I answer your question, Prabhu?
I guess maybe he's asking, is there continual, just like a guru, I think you mentioned guru, the guru is always there for the disciple, guiding them. So does the parent also take that role?
I think maybe the way that it manifests changes. It changes. It might be that now I just pray, while they do their thing, and I just pray, because if I try to talk too much, then maybe they're not interested. It'll kind of push them away. So yeah. So just knowing when to back off and just offer help in a different way. just through prayer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just continuation of the same point here and basically saying what you're saying. Our scripture says that after 16, at least for a boy, that you become friends with them. So I guess the approach is how you would deal with a friend as opposed to as a child.
Yes, because that respect has to be there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The thing is, you have informed that the black box have the karma because of some accidents. So like that in life, so many accidents is happening and there are so many accumulation of karmas. Mm. So how to remove that accumulated karma from our life, that would not affect our living life.
Yeah. Well, one, are you initiated? Or not yet?
No, not yet, I think.
Okay. So we know that, you know, as we move along in the path to Krishna consciousness, at some point we accept a spiritual master. And when we surrender to that spiritual master and we take initiation, accept initiation, then there's a major shift in our karma. So what happens is then it, whatever karma that we had actually is absorbed by the Krishna, by the spiritual master. And then from there, if we're following and we're sincere and we're doing our best, then whatever happens, it might not necessarily be that, doesn't mean that nothing quote unquote bad is going to happen. Like, you know, maybe, you know, I might still break a bone or whatever, get some disease or whatever. But then the devotee comes to the understanding that this is what they call Krishna karma, meaning whatever is happening to me now, because I've taken full shelter of the parampara system, so whatever is happening to me now is Krishna's teaching me something. So it's meant for me to learn, and as opposed to just, you know, reaction to something that I did before.
Okay, so by chanting will help the karma, chanting kirtanas.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's a part of the whole thing. That's the most important part is the chanting. Yes, that chanting the minimum number of rounds, at least 16, right? At least, but can be more. And chanting properly also. We want to try to avoid, you know, chanting while we're driving or whatever, but always working on making sure, trying to improve our sadhana to the best of our ability.
Okay. Chanting and kirtanas also, bhajanas.
Sorry?
Kirtans and bhajan.
Yeah, kirtan and bhajan is there. That's very nice. And to try to do it in the mood of, I want to please Krishna. Yeah.
So it will be removed, all the karmas will be removed at one point, or it will be slowly removed?
That I'm not sure, as far as, like, my understanding is that we don't want to make that our goal. You know, our goal is not to get rid of karma. The goal is to become attached to Krishna. And then when we're attached to Krishna, we're not worried about karma, because whatever we do is to please Krishna, so there wouldn't be any karma.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
There was something about having like some realization, and we can't have it through speculation, and we can't have it through the ascending process.
Purport. Mm-hmm.
What's the ascending process?
Ascending. So that means I can't get information. This is, I don't know if I should say the S word, scientists. they try to figure things out, like, from, based on their own senses, like, you know, I study this thing. So it's like, that's the ascending process. Like, I'm down here and I'm trying to figure things out, moving my way up there, as opposed to we follow the descending process. The information, the mercy comes down from the Guru Parampara. So we have to accept it. It comes to us and we have to accept it, as opposed to us trying to go up artificially and figure it out on our own.
What's the difference between ascending and the speculation? Are they the same thing?
Oh, the difference between ascending and speculation. Oh, let me see. Yeah, where was that? Oh, In one sense, absolute transcendental variegatedness is meant only for the devotees, not for others, because this distinct feature of transcendental variegatedness can be understood only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and not by mental speculation or the ascending process. Do you want to say the difference between the two?
Sure.
Okay, please, Prabhu.
Well, I think one way to appreciate the idea of mental speculation is when, you know, conditioned souls use the intelligence, the mind, to sort of create a whole separate reality. I think this is what it is, and this is where I fit into it. Whereas ascending process, sure, you could use that for that purpose, but we could also engage that in Krishna service. You know, we're trying to figure out how to mop the floor. You know, no one's around to tell us how to do it. Well, let me try this. You know, let me put it together to try to serve Krishna by engaging my intelligence or whatever the program may be. Mm-hmm. So ascending process on its own can be engaged. It's you know, these are all Krishna's energies. We're engaging them. But if you're using it to create a separate identity, a false identity, and a false reality that ain't going to go anywhere mm-hmm. in the end, then you're wasting time.
Thank you. Does that help, Prabhu?
So what's the difference between speculating and ascending?
I'm not clear, actually. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.